So I was praying about what to share, and something that I learned from the Word, something that God taught me, that really helped me become an overcomer, I wanted to share about that. And so if you could open the Bible to Matthew chapter 16. You know, sometimes when you read the Word of God, and you've read that scripture, but suddenly God opens your eyes to see something, and then it's like an aha moment. Many years ago, that was my aha moment. I'd like to read Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. Now, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the other prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you yourself say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Now, Simon did not even know that it was the Father revealing it to him. He just thought it was, he came up, like it just, he didn't even recognize it, but Jesus recognized it was the Father that gave him that revelation, that download. And he said, "I also say to you, Peter, upon this rock," upon the rock of this revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the kingdom, the keys of the kingdom, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now then he gave the disciples the orders that they were to tell no one that he was Christ. Interestingly, in the same chapter, Jesus talks about his death and suffering. And the same Simon Peter gets a download. But this download is not from God. This is from the enemy. And let's continue reading. "From the time Jesus began to point to his disciples, it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem to suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, scribes, and be killed, and to be raised on the third day. Yet Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. 'God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you.'" And Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You're setting your mind not on God's purposes, but of men's. Now, Jesus explained to the disciples that he must die. So what was the will of the Father? Jesus must die. Now, Peter loved Jesus. He didn't want to lose Jesus. He didn't want Jesus to suffer and die. So he had good intentions. But were those intentions God intentions? So when we operate in good intentions that are not God intentions, we're not operating in the Spirit of God, in the will of God. Now, Peter did not realize that what he was doing with good intentions, with love and care for his master, was actually operating in the devil's zone. So now you see one download comes from the Spirit of God and the other is stirred by the soul. Now in the Bible, there's specific words used for the spirit, there's specific words used for the soul, there's specific word used for the body, and we are made of these faculties. So when we talk about man, he's made of the faculty of body, soul, spirit, mind, and heart. And so let's look at what happens when we operate out of the soul. We'll go to James. James chapter 3. And verse 13 to 18. Carnal desires are easy to detect. Soulish desires are difficult to detect. The base sin that we can recognize, like sins of the flesh, like, you know, desires of the flesh, they are easy to detect. But soulish desires are very difficult to detect. They only get detected by the fruits we bear. But as we open our hearts to God, God will help us, show us when we are operating in the soulish desires and when we are operating in the spirit desires. So if you look at James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by the good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy, self-seeking in your heart, some translations translate it as selfish, do not boast against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Now you take this scripture and you put it on what Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." When Peter was operating in the earthly, natural wisdom, he was operating in the demonic. That's why Jesus, very rarely has Jesus called someone like, "Get behind me, Satan." But if you notice, the reason why he called, because who did not want Jesus to die on the cross? The devil. But what did he use? A good meaning, a loving person who cared for his master to tempt Jesus against it. It says, continues further, but the wisdom from above is pure, peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, in my life, I have seen, just like Peter, I switched from walking in the spirit to listening to the soul. Now, the soul is not evil, but soul is supposed to be under the spirit. The word soul, there are two words in the Bible that describe soul, one in the Hebrew Bible and one in the Greek Bible. And there, it's basically, soul is about self-conscious part of you, the one that cares for your body, thinks about. We connect with people usually at a soul level. We understand them, we empathize with them. The spirit word is that which we are born again. When we are born again, we are born of the spirit. Our soul is still the old. Our body is still the old, but we are born in the spirit. Now, the spirit part of us is the one that connects with God. Those who worship the Lord must worship in spirit and in truth. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the spirit is that which connects us with God. Now, Jesus, when he was overwhelmed in Gethsemane, you know which part of him was overwhelmed? It was his soul. My soul is overwhelmed to the point of death. What did Jesus do when he was overwhelmed in the soul? He sought the Father. He says, not my will be done, but your will be done. So when we do my will, are we operating in the spirit or are we operating in the soul? We're operating in the soul. So when we seek to do his will, we operate in the spirit. When Peter spoke, you are Christ, the Son of the living God, he was operating in the spirit. But when he started going by the things of his heart, his own desires, his way of thinking, the human way of thinking, he started operating in the soul. I would like to read another scripture in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." So what part of them is laboring and heavy laden? In verse 29, he says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." If we are feeling heavy laden, if we are tired, what part of us is operating? Is it the spirit or is it the soul? Now, if we come to Jesus, he will teach us how to be humble and lowly. He will teach us how to give the burden to God. When we give the burden to God, when we give the control to God, what are we operating in? We are operating in the Spirit. Jesus, it is recorded in the story in the Garden of Gethsemane for us to realize even the most perfect being had burden in the soul. And the most perfect being decided to give the burden to God. When Jesus said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," who was he operating under? He was operating in the Spirit. And that's our example. When we go through tough things in life, if I am feeling anguish, is it a sin to feel anguish? No, because Jesus felt anguish. Is it a sin to feel burden? No. But operating out of anguish is not walking in the Spirit. Operating out of the burden is not operating in the Spirit. So God has given us his Holy Spirit so that we learn to give our burden to the Lord. We bring him rather than control situations in our lives. And there are ample opportunities. Our families, there are things that happen in my family. I have to learn to give it to God. I have crazy deadlines. I have to give it to God. When somebody hurls insults at me or treats me poorly, I have to learn to give it to God. So we have ample opportunities in life that things get thrown at us. When we listen to the news and it's overpowering, oh, this is going to happen and this is what's getting planned and this is what's going to happen. Are you going to take that and sit in the soul? Or are you going to take that and give it to God and say, "God, I'm going to give it to you. It's not my burden." And that's where we get into the rest. The rest that Jesus promised doesn't happen when we operate in the soul. The rest happens when we yield to the Spirit and say, "God, not my will, but thy will be done." When I am angry, the anger of man doesn't produce the righteous life that God desires. When I'm angry, am I operating in the Spirit or am I operating in the soul? All offenses happen when we operate in the soul, because it is, "Oh, they attacked me. They spoke against me. This is not fair." All that is, it's all me-centric. When Satan tempted Eve, he appealed to the soul. "You will be like God. You will be wiser." All temptations of the enemy are directed to your soul and your body. And when we learn to yield our hearts to God, the devil has no power over us. Because when we are humble, we are operating in the wisdom of God. When we seek to do his will, we are operating in the Spirit of God. And so I was just thinking about this, and I thought, you know, this is something the Lord taught me. And if you look at when Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 16, he goes on further to go to verse 24. He says, "If anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up the cross, and follow me." I read that scripture so many times. But after understanding that when I walk in the self, I'm actually operating under the devil's zone, denying myself takes more importance now. The more I deny myself, the more I seek to do the will of the Father, the less I am yielding to the soulish desires, and the less I am listening to the promptings of the enemy. All divisions in churches happen because people listen to the soul. People look at preeminence. People look at gathering disciples. People look at doing their agenda. It's all, every sin can be traced back to people operating in the soul. When the devil tempts people, he empathizes with their soul. And when I understood that, I am being intentional now that I check my attitude, I check my intentions, I check my emotions. If my emotions if I'm getting irritated or annoyed, I yield it to God and I say, God, help me. Give me your grace. And none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. We all have this daily battle. Either we yield to our self-will or we yield to the Father's will. Now, self-will can be having good intentions. You can have good intentions in doing self-will. But at the end, the fruit we bear is not of God. Somebody the other day said to me, shared with me a story about like what happened and how God spoke to that individual. And I just said, what was the end result? Person said, we fought. I said, if it is God, God will lead you to restoration, healing, and not fights. That wisdom is probably not from God. Because if it was God, it would bear the fruit. And that's how I look at it. You may be doctrinally right, but what is the fruit you're bearing? You may be right in asserting certain things, but what's the fruit we are bearing? And so I process every day with God. I ask God, God, show me, Lord, is there anything I need to repent of? Is there anything I need to change? And sometimes he tells me, you need to apologize to your daughter. Sometimes he tells me, you need to apologize to your wife. Sometimes in my marriage, he tells, as soon as I'm operating in the soul and I'm about to say something, he says, you're not saying that. And I listen to him, and I've noticed when I don't listen to him, I bear the fruit of the soul. So I would encourage all of you to just think about it, process this scripture, and just ask the Lord, Lord, what are the areas that I am carrying the burden that I should be giving it to you? What are the areas that I am doing my will and getting irritable that I should surrender it to you? Is there any unforgiveness in me that causes me to avoid a person, that causes me to, get angry? I believe it's a walk with God. Our Christian walk is a walk. And we can choose to be in the state of operating in the spirit or a state of operating in the soul. We can choose to operate in the wisdom of God that brings peace, joy, righteousness, which is the kingdom, or we can operate in uneasiness, anxiety, and all kinds of evil. That's what James talks about. Wherever there's earthly wisdom, there's all kinds of evil. So this is what I wanted to share, and I hope it spoke to you. Thank you.